We're doing the Rambam Zegirat Teiman, the Yemenite epistle. We're holding page Kuf Lamed Beis in the Musad Rav Kook edition, the bottom of the page. Ushlomo HaMelech Alav HaShalom and King Solomon, peace be upon him, Dima'otan Le'isha Yafa B'Tachlit HaYofi She'en Badofi. King Solomon compared us to the most beautiful woman that has no blemish, Shenemar, as the verse says in the Song of Songs, Kulach yafa ra'ayati umum ein bach. You are all beauty, my beloved, my great friend. There is no blemish in you. V'dima she'ar emunot v'asivarot she'rotzim l'amshicha aleihem u'lachzira le'emunatam. King Solomon compared the other faiths, the other forms of logic, the other thoughts, the other ways of life that try to attract her and bring her away to their faith. He compares them k'anshei habeliyal ashitufim bezima v'amfatim anashim shein benot chayil la'asig mehem ta'avatam amcho'ara. He compared them to these people who have no yoke of heaven, who are so promiscuous and try to seduce women that are faithful to attain their desires, their disgraceful, disgusting desires. The same happened to us with these people. That they speak to us and try to seduce us to come around to their religion. And maybe we will get tangled in their lightheadedness, in their branches of lies. And so they try. So you have a beautiful woman who's perfect. She's got everything just right, which is what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. The balance, the way of life, the faith that we were given is perfect, doesn't need any improvement. But everyone around is trying to say, why don't you just try this? Why don't you just try that? V'achar kach chazal b'chochmato b'lshon tshuvat ha'uma. And then King Solomon replies with his wisdom. He's representing the whole nation in the reply. Kilu hi omeret, as though the woman is saying, le'otam she'em rotzim lefatota, to those that are trying to seduce her, ulaharot lehem shesvaratam u'ulam isvaratam, and she's trying to show them, my way is better than your way, my logic is better than your logic. Leze davar atem mitchazakim bi? Tell me, in what area do you think you'll overpower me? Hatuchlu laharot li kmo mecholat ha'machanayim? Can you show me anything as beautiful as the rejoicing that happened at Machanaim? Kluma. Now what King Solomon is saying is, they come and they try to attract her, and she says, Matechazu bashulamit kimcholat ha-machanayim. They tell her, Shuvi, shuvi ha-shulamit, come back, you whole one. We know you're whole, but come to us. Try it out. Shuvi shuvi v'nechezebach. Don't worry, we'll appoint leaders among you. We got what to offer you. Come join us. And she answers, Matechezu bashulamit kimcholat ha-machanayim. What can you offer me that comes close to the rejoicing of machanayim? Kelomar, as if to say, Sha'umat iton k'negdam. The nation claims in reply, ve'omeret lehem. And the nation says back to them, Haruni kmo ma'amad har Sinai shehaya bo machane Elokim u'machane Yisrael zeh le'umat zeh. Show me something that comes close to the Sinai revelation, where you had machanayim, you had two camps, God's camp, the Jewish people's camp, and they're standing opposite one another. If you want to attract me, you got to replicate that. You have to compete with that. Az ashuv la'atzatchem. Then I'm willing to hear what you guys have to say. And that's what the verse says by way of allegory. Shuvi shuvi ashulamit, shuvi shuvi v'nechazebach, matechazu bashulamit kimcholat ha-machanayim. Uperu Shulamit. And what does the words mean when they call her Shulamit? King Solomon calls her Shulamit Hashileima Hachasida, the whole one, the pious one. Umecholat Machanaim, and when he speaks about the rejoicing of the two camps, that's Simchat Ma'amad Al Sinai Shayabu Machanei Israel, the rejoicing that was at Mount Sinai where you had the camp of Israel, Shenemal, as the verse says. Vayitzei Moshe etam likat Elokim min haMachaneh vayitayatzavu b'tachtit ha'har. So Moshe, it says, led the nation out towards God. The nation was brought out of the camp and they stood at the foot of the mountain. UMachaneh Elokim, you had the camp of God, so to speak. Moshe Ne'emar, as the verse says, Rechav Elokim ribotayim alfei shinan, Hashem bam Sinai b'kodesh. That at Sinai, God appeared with thousands of chariots, so to speak. All these angels come along, and there is God's camp of angels standing there ready to give the Torah. Re'e chokhmat ha-mashal v'sodo. Now take a look, we're turning to page Kuf Lamed Daled. Look at the wisdom of this allegory and the secret that it encompasses. Shu'echzir milat shuvi arba pa'amim b'zeh pasuk. You find in the pasuk, it says the word shuvi four times. Shuvi shuvi ashulamit, shuvi shuvi v'nechazebach, four times. Liot remez shanu nirdafim arba pa'amim latzet min adat. בכל אחת מן המלכויות האלה הארבע שאנו היום באחרונה מהן. That we would be persecuted by four nations. Four times they would try to get us to leave our religion, and now we're up to the fourth. Now, we'll see, the Rambam will expand on this, but not right now. V'yivtichanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Torato, and Hashem promised us in His Torah, v'amar, and Hashem said, ki b'yotam achichim otanu le'echoz b'svaratam, when they force us to take on their way of thinking, sh'ne'emar, as the verse says, v'avadtem sham Elohim achirim ma'aseh yedei adam etzva even. You will be in other countries, and there you will be forced to worship their gods, fashioned by humans, made of wood, made of stone. In spite of that, it won't be all encompassing. There will always be some Jews who will be permitted to maintain their faith, and the Torah will never be severed from the Jewish people. And that's what Hashem promises us at the end of the book of Dvarim, ki lo tishachach mipi zaro. The Torah will never be forgotten from the seed of Israel. And he clarified it through the prophet Isaiah, who was the one who gave good news to our nation. The great sign between us and him, blessed be he, the great miracle that is indicative of our eternal existence, is the fact that Hashem's Torah, that Hashem's Word is still amongst us. Shenemar, as the verse says in Yeshaya, V'ani zot beriti otam amar Hashem, and I, this is my covenant with them, says Hashem. Ruchi asher alecha udvaray asher samti beficha, lo yamushu mipicha umipi zaracha umipi zera zaracha amar Hashem me'ata v'ad olam. My spirit and my word that I placed in your mouth will never leave their mouths or the mouths of their children or grandchildren forever. That's the covenant. You want to know how? Ani zot briti otam, my covenant with them, that they will be eternal. The sign for it is the fact that the Torah will remain eternally with them. V'gam itpara umatenu lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu al shetispol tzarot hashmadot, and our nation also took pride before the Holy One, blessed be He, that we can undergo these trials and tribulations, the suffering and the persecution, and the nation can handle all these terrible times that come one after another upon the nation. Sheken katuv, that's what it says in the verse in Tehillim. Ki alecha oragnu chol hayom. The Jewish people say to Hashem, we have been murdered over you continuously, God. Chol hayom is, so to speak, all day. That's a way of saying continuously. Zedorosh el shmad, and our sages say, the Talmud tells us in Gittin, that's a reference to the generation of forced conversions. And so we should be happy in our capacity to undergo these afflictions, v'avedat hamamon v'agalut, our loss of money, our exile, v'efsed inyaneinu, and we lose our livelihood. Shekol zeh letiferet ilanu l'neged boreinu v'kavod gadol. That when we face our Creator, it is a great honor, it is a great glory for us. Look at what we're willing to give up, but we're not willing to give up on you. Isn't that something? That's a guy who is told, leave your wife or lose your job. Okay, I lost my job. A guy is told, leave your wife or lose your house. Okay, I lost my house. Leave your wife or lose everything you own. Okay, I lose everything I own. Leave your wife or leave the country. Okay, I leave the country. That's what we've done. They told us leave the religion or leave the job. Leave the religion or leave the country. Leave the religion or you'll have no money. And whatever it is, we don't leave.
That's what they will say later to the Yemenites. You say, you tell me that if you don't become Muslims, they're going to take your houses. And go to the desert.
We'll get there, yeah. וכל מה שיפול ממנו בעניין הזה הוא רשוב כקורבן קליל על גבי המזבח. Whatever happens to us with regard to this is like a sacrifice, says the Rambam. In a minute. So, the Rambam says, if we have to undergo all of this, if we have to lose money or be exiled or lose our positions, it's as though we've offered a sacrifice on the altar before him. ויאמר לנו על זה מילוי ידכם היום לשם כי איש בבנו ואחיו ולתת היום עליכם היום ברכה. It's like Hashem says when it comes to the people who were faithful to Hashem and there were others who were serving the golden calf. So Moshe tells them, now you have a responsibility to do justice, to do what's right, and you should know this will be a source of blessing for you. You will be faithful to Hashem, and you should know that although right now you have to stand up against your brethren, against your own family members who are going after the golden calf, ultimately this will be a source of blessing to you. And so too says the Rambam, you who will be faithful in this time of tests, this time where others are falling because of the pressure, you should know that ultimately it will be a blessing to you. Yeah, it's interesting. On a smaller scale, we see that today. There was a family that made it out of the Holocaust, and no one had it easy. After the Holocaust, you can't judge anyone that underwent what they underwent. But we can observe, and we can see certain things. If we do it with humility and with honesty and without being judgmental, we can still observe. And it's interesting because families had to make decisions what way of life they would go. I was just notified of a former student of ours who passed away 2 weeks ago, whose grandmother, after the Holocaust, came to the United States and decided that she doesn't want to have anything to do with Judaism. Went and married someone not Jewish. She had a daughter and told her, look, look at what Judaism got us. You do like me, marry someone not Jewish. You're a Jew, the Jews consider you a Jew, but you should still marry someone not Jewish. So she did that. And then she had a son, this boy who came to us. And that she told that boy when he was 25, he was going off to the military. She said to him, I want you to know, you should know the family history, that your grandmother fled from Europe. She grew up in a fully Orthodox family. I grew up with my dad not being Jewish, but my mother Jewish, and the Jews consider you a Jew, you should just know. So at age 25, he suddenly heard he was Jewish. And on a different scale, there were families that had to make decisions. Everyone had to make decisions after the Holocaust. So I know of families where one sibling decided they're sending their children to good Jewish education and they're going to continue the traditional life. And they have a lot of nachas now from their grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Their siblings decided that they're not going that route. And again, no one can judge them. But I've been contacted by their siblings, who are now grandparents and great-grandparents, and they see that their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren are not necessarily going to marry within Judaism, and are not continuing to keep Shabbat. And although when they made this decision, they weren't too interested in this way of life, but today, as they see the product of the choices they've made, they regret it deeply. For the last 2 decades, it's already 20 years, that there's a woman who's been calling me and asking me if I could talk to this grandson of hers, if I could invite that grandson of hers. Now we're up to the great-grandchildren already. It's been 2 decades. She deeply regrets her choices in the past, but now it's already a done deal. The products are here. The grandchildren have non-Jewish girlfriends. The great-grandchildren, some of them aren't even Jewish. I'm saying again, we can't judge anybody, but the Rambam is saying right now you're living in the moment. And in the moment, it looks like you're going to lose a lot if you maintain the Jewish way of life, and you'll gain a lot if you leave it. But you should know that in the long run, your source of blessing is if you're faithful to Judaism. Right now, it looks like you're sacrificing for it, but you should know that at the end of the day, it is your blessing. And I'm just saying, we've had chance now in the last century to witness this playing itself out. Those who took one route and those who took the other route. We can't judge anyone, but we can see what the Rambam was describing. We can see how it really played itself out.